You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. You know, I recently actually won a lot of money on DraftKings. I bet that Tom Brady would get unbelievably and undeservedly lucky in a Super Bowl or a big game in general. So wow. make that bet every time.
How much did you win?
Just millions of dollars. I'm just going to bet it every game. Just enormous, like Tom Brady's going to get an enormous break, and there's still going to be a, you know, a horseshoe shoved firmly up his ass. But
DraftKings.
Anyway, if you want to also become a millionaire like me, use DraftKings. So this week's jam-packed with action ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways to have a front row seat for you to have a front row seat for all the action.
Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Wow, excitement to every night and simple to do. Sounds like my kind of night. draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap and then sit back and watch your points pile up. Like Taylor. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion, $2 billion of which has gone to Taylor, to users across sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all of the action.
Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using code THPN. That stands for the Hockey Podcast Network.
You're darn right it does.
New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And we're very excited to welcome a reoccurring guest, we'll say, first time this season, back to the podcast, our good friend Chris Ostrander. You may know him on Twitter as Two in the Box. Chris, welcome back to the podcast.
Happy to be here. Appreciate the invite.
We were just saying before we started recording, we actually had recorded with Chris a year ago. Right around like this week, and then ended up seeing each other at a Sabres game, which I'm assuming was probably a loss.
Did they win? Was it the Columbus game? Am I mistaken? Didn't they win in overtime?
I don't know the game it would have been. I could take a shot if I looked at the schedule, but I feel like it would have been a loss.
No, that's probably right. I mean, like 60%. 60% chance it's right over the past decade.
Like, when was the Nashville game when they beat Nashville? Was that in the spring? It all bled together.
The beginning of last year, like the January to March of hockey now just like blends totally together in my mind at this point.
Yeah.
Could have been whenever, really. But Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about how things have been going at Two in the Box before we hop into talking some Sabres?
Well, we're one of the many Sabres podcasts to get a Manscaped outreach. I don't know if you guys were part of that.
Same here, bro.
So I'm not the only one. I feel like it was like, oh, cool, Manscaped reach out. That's fun. And then like I saw like every other podcast also.
When we got it last year, like the Lawnmower 3.0 ad read, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Probably one of the only people that have this. And I was watching literally a YouTube channel, nothing to do with sports. It was a horror movie channel. And the host had the exact same script as us.
Yeah. So, okay.
I guess they treat all their girls like this.
Yeah. So that was, I was like, oh, cool. Like we finally made it. And I was like, oh no, everyone else made it too. So,
hey man, welcome to the club.
Exactly.
We've all made it now.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We're up there with all the serious podcasts, right?
That's
but,
right.
Yeah. No, we're, you know, having every year I'm like, I got to write more. And then like the Sabres kind of stink and it just turns into okay, maybe I'll write tomorrow. But yeah. I'm thinking about doing something. You know, I want to write something on like Okposo and just how they're, I feel like they're misusing the opportunity to put him on the taxi squad, you know. But, you know, we've been doing the podcast and, you know, post an article every now and then, but, you know, just plugging away with the podcast. So many conversations just happen on Twitter now that kind of fallen into that old right. thing. Just, you talk to people on Twitter, you can share thoughts that way and save yourself the blog, I guess. But the website suffers as a result, but.
Well, the podcasting's been killing it as always. So
I appreciate that.
Of course, man. Absolutely. So while we're talking about the Sabres sucking and Kyle Okposo, let's just jump right in then. So again, folks, as I had said two episodes ago, on the heels of a commanding victory against the offensive powerhouse that is the New Jersey Devils, the Sabres Cup hopes are alive and well, right, Chris?
Well, I mean, geez, if they hadn't laid those eggs last week, we might be having a slightly different conversation. You know, just having those three losses that they had, being unable to score, it probably tanked the season. It probably just put them. They're probably going to be, you know, what are they, 9 points out or 7 points out right now?
Yeah.
So it's just it that's going to be a tough hill to climb when everyone's playing each other. You know, the games in hand don't matter as much this year, because everyone's going to cannibalize each other. So I guess, you know, maybe you hope that, you know, this is something I'd mentioned at the top of the season, was maybe you hope like Boston and Washington, or Boston, Philly, whoever it is, those two teams just beat everyone. They run out to a huge lead up at the top of the division. You hope that the rest of the pack is able to stay within, you know, kind of firing range of each other. But I think they're in trouble. That COVID break, their shooting percentage and then just being flat coming out of the 2 weeks, it just seems like it all has conspired against them.
Well, yeah. And on top of that, I just wanted to quickly ask your thoughts, Chris. I think the other thing now that's a little bit more recent though, was half of the defensemen who were playing well this season are out for the rest of the season. Jake McCabe, I don't think that had just come out, I believe a day or two ago, that he had torn his ACL and MCL. And so he's on the shelf now for about 8 months. Ristolainen, as we had previously talked about, and as everybody pretty much knows, has been just getting the hell beat out of him from the coronavirus. And so we don't know if we'll see him back, but judging by how rough it's been on him, I would be surprised if we see him again. And then most recently, again, Will Borgen was recently announced, I believe, to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And that, you know, presumably will put him on the shelf for the rest of the season as well. So with that being said, on top of all of the other holes that you had mentioned previously, do you think that, is there any hope that they would be able to overcome the injuries on defense? Because it's a pretty glaring hole now at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, I think, you know, there's a few different interesting avenues here. One being that Ristolainen was playing probably the best hockey of his career. You know, he was mixing his physical game with good decision-making when in the past, that hasn't always been the case. And the McCabe versus Ristolainen pair was really strong. And it certainly seemed like they were going to at least be a reliable pairing for the Sabres, whether or not they led to victories. You know, that obviously was kind of a little bit 50-50 before the coronavirus break, but you lose arguably your top defensive pair in Ristolainen and now McCabe. And then Borgen, who was, you know, only got a few games, but was really a pleasant surprise, and obviously a player who a lot of fans at least have been hoping to see sooner than they have. But, you know, so you have a guy like Ristolainen who finally maybe came out of his shell, I guess, after 500 games. But the guy who was most logical to replace him, and Will Borgen, now goes on the shelf too. And so now they're left with Matt Irwin and Brennan Davidson getting into the lineup on a fairly regular basis. Jacob Bryson got recalled and acquitted himself pretty well against the Devils, but you know what his long-term impacts are going to be, you know, you never know. It sure would be nice if the Sabres, for once, like since like probably like that year that Ennis, Foligno and Stafford caught fire, like it would be nice if the Sabres could have a recall of a guy who just goes on a tear, you know, over an abbreviated period. So maybe that's Bryson. I don't know, but I mean, short of making a trade, I just think they're going to have to hobble along with this defense core, and doesn't feel sustainable. But
Yeah, it is kind of frustrating because I think like this time last year we would have thought like no great loss for both Ristolainen and McCabe, but like both of them have played so much better. And like Bryson is obviously someone I'm kind of excited to see what he's like, but the rest of the defensive core, like, just if nothing else happens, you're going to have Dahlin and Miller obviously, and you'll have Montour, and if you want to throw Bryson out there. But besides that, it's going to be like, do they have to play Davidson and Irwin like kind of regularly? Like, is there anyone that you think they could target potentially to kind of fill that gap? I don't know if they're interested or not, but like if they were, is there anyone in the league?
You know, I'm trying to think back, you know, like I know, you know, obviously Brandon Montour was reported as being available by Elliot Friedman. Whether or not that remains to be the case now that Oregon's out, I have a sneaking suspicion that whoever leaked that information or reported that information to Friedman reported it before Borgen's injury was official, right? Because it would only be logical that if they were confident in Borgen, that they would be able to move one of their righties. Because they still had, even with Ristolainen hurt, they had three right-handed defensemen. Arguably top six right-handed defensemen. So, like, I know Victor Mete's name was out there at the beginning of the season as a guy the Canadians maybe were moving on from, or like, maybe considering moving on from, but like, I don't feel like there's been a whole lot of rumor going around yet. And it's not like it's early in the season, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's not trade deadline season either. So we're not going to hear a lot of guys who are being shopped. But just, you know, off the top of my head, you know, Mete comes to mind just because, you know, Montreal just fired Julien and Kirk Muller got fired too. So obviously, you know, the potential for them to have a shakeup is there. And then, I mean, everyone, I guess you could probably go down cap friendly and kind of pick and choose guys off rosters who might be, you know, guys you could fetch. But I mean, I don't know. I don't have much appetite for them claiming Luke Shen. I don't know about you guys, but
No.
that doesn't feel like a
Hard
solution,
no.
you know? Yeah, like Davidson wasn't very good when he got in the game, and Irwin wasn't very good when he got in the game, or when he's been in the games at least. You know, he had a couple decent starts, but
Yeah.
man, aside from recalling Samuelson or Casey Fitzgerald, who I don't think that's a solution either. Like, yeah, you almost think they'd have to almost cook something up and you know, and really go fetch a guy that no one's been talking about. So I'm just trying to think of someone off the top of my head, like on a team that might be considering making a move. But like David Savard, maybe, you know, he's pretty good. Columbus isn't out of the playoff race, so they're not going to want to move somebody. But you know, maybe you may overpay, I guess you'd say, to get a guy like Savard who maybe would be deemed expendable. I don't think that's a guy that Columbus would want to move necessarily, but I guess, you know, maybe that's something that could be worked out. But
Well, yeah, that it is interesting that we had Casey Nelson for like 11 years, 11 years, give or take. And it's like there was never a time when they needed him.
yeah.
But if ever there was,
It is funny
be
that
now.
the year that he opts out and retires from hockey after, you know, being treated in much in the same way that we've seen Borgen treated, where it's just like ready to break through, or at least ready to be evaluated on a bigger picture and never really getting the opportunity. This is, you know, the year that he probably would have gotten some playing time, and now, you know, he's gone. But
Yeah, and I mean, that's another guy we should probably bring up is Lawrence Pilot, who they also treated in a pretty stupid and unfair fashion, and another guy they could absolutely use now and would absolutely be getting playing time and probably impressing a lot of people. But unfortunately, he's playing in Europe because they didn't value him.
Yeah, and it's yeah, there it's such a it's really become a pattern with them of you know, and there are guys who just didn't make it. You know, like I would say Justin Bailey, Nick Baptiste, never necessarily got a really, really great look as prospects, but they were always stuck behind, you know, kind of these also-rans who continue to get contracts. But then yeah, like Pilot, I would put Borgen in this group, even though he had a nice start. And then also who were we just talking about? Casey Nelson. Yeah, like those are, you know, three guys. It's just, you know, in another circumstance, maybe in another organization, you're talking about seeing a little bit more of them earlier. It's just one of the many frustrations that the Sabres continue to repeat.
There's really, unfortunately, a laundry list of guys. I mean, CJ Smith, I think, is another guy too, who currently on the team, you know, rather than giving out, you know, $2 million to a guy to play on your fourth line, whether it's, you know, Eakin or Gergensen's. I mean, I know Gergensen's, of course, has value, but again, it's more the theme of not trying to take advantage of not only like prospects and giving them a look, but also the reduced cap hit too, of having a guy on a two-way deal, you know, like CJ Smith, who could fill in and be serviceable, like Will Borgen last year too, where you're giving Zach Bogosian minutes and losing new games. And, you know, you have this guy cooking and it gets to a point, same thing with Pilot, you know, it goes down the list. But while we're talking about, you know, bonehead decision-making, I want to ask a very direct question about Ralph Krueger. And it's going to lead into a greater discussion, but to be blunt, Chris, if you were GM of the Sabres right now, would you fire Ralph Krueger today?
I don't think I'd have the power to fire Ralph Krueger today. That'd be my answer. I don't know if Kevin Adams has that autonomy, but.
Fair enough. Well, should they rather?
Like, yeah, I was sorry for being purposely coy, but.
okay.
Yeah, that is such a tough question. So I know we interact on Twitter all the time. Like I shared that post I wrote last year about like, is the Sabres standard at the same standard as all these other teams? Vegas was a year removed from a cup berth, right? Or 2 years, and they went and fired their coach. You know, it's not that like they were a bad team. The Canadians are 9-5-3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They're not getting much goaltending from Carey Price at the moment, but they went and fired their coaching staff. Like, the Sabres don't get much traction year after year, and they want to play the patience game. So, you know, I will put it this way. I've never been much of a fan of the Bruce Boudreau idea. Like, I've never like really loved the idea of him as like this great coaching candidate since he got fired from Washington, because I mean, year after year when he's been fired, almost every year people are like, oh, he's going to get another job. People are silly not to hire him tomorrow, stuff like that. I've never really been on board with that. And I think of this team as it's constructed with the talent that they have, he'd be a perfect coach for them. So in that respect, I would say you should fire Krueger now and replace him with Bruce Boudreau. But that is circumstantial. I think, you know, the fact that he's a coach that I think could really get a lot out of this group, mm-hmm. and whether or not he gets in the playoffs, I don't know, but he would get a lot out of the group. I feel in that respect, I would say, yeah, fire him in that for that reason. Again, they're on the verge of having to reset and rebuild. So, you know, what's the point in firing your coach? I don't know. It's just, they're in so much trouble in so many ways. It's hard to just put it on the coach, but.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. Yeah, absolutely. I do wonder, so this is kind of an open-ended question, so you might have to go off about this for a little while. We've talked about lineup optimization a lot this year. We talked about it earlier this year, before the season, actually, with Kevin at NTRider on Twitter, NT Rider, whatever it is, or Knight Rider. But anyway.
Time we refer to Kevin. It's so
yeah, funny. I wish he would figure out what the hell it is.
Well, I referred to him, when he was on my podcast, I just said NT Rider. And then like 2 days later, someone's like, why didn't you just say Knight Rider? And it never occurred to me. So same thing.
TJ said that to us, TJ Luckman. And we were like, is it Knight Rider? And then we asked him and he was like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
So Kevin, figure it out, buddy. But then we've talked about lineup optimization with him before the season and why it might not be best to play Eichel with Skinner. Obviously, a lot's changed since then. But the lineup, it is kind of interesting because they don't have the line from last year, the log line. In fact, they don't really have any of those guys, if you think about Posto mm-hmm. as a completely different guy. So that even the bottom six has changed. And now there's this whole calculus of who you put on what line has kind of changed. And now it's like, oh, Posto, he's really shouldn't probably be in the lineup. Olofsson is great on the power play. Is he really good at 5-on-5, even with Eichel? Should you play Reinhardt with Eichel? Hall and Stahl? Where should you put Skinner? All these questions pop up. Cousins, even. You spread out the talent. You try to have two power lines. So what is your thought on how they should be handling this? Or at least what would you like to see them give a shot to?
I think at this point, they're a two-line team once again. And I think that probably means putting Jeff Skinner back with Eichel and Reinhardt and letting Olofsson hide on a, you know, at low minutes at 5-on-5. The one issue that comes into play is like, they want Cody Eakin to be a matchup center and he's not a matchup center. If anything, he is a fringe production center who, if you put him with the right right wingers, you could actually like chip in some goals against favorable matchups. And it's probably more likely that the Lazar line is the matchup line, regardless if it's Skinner on that left wing, if it's Olofsson, if it's Rasmus Asplund, Casey Mittelstadt, who actually I think probably deserves to be there. That's really their matchup line. And I think, first of all, I really like Riley Sheehan. I think he's been a really great find, you know, for a team that doesn't do a great job optimizing and finding low value or low cost, high value players. Sheehan, I think, has been that for them. And I'm a big Curtis Lazar fan. I probably overrate him, but I think he's been terrific. And so when I look at the way that they're currently constructed, what really needs to happen probably is that the Okposo, Eakin, Reader line needs to see like 8 minutes a night, favorable matchups, offensive zone starts, you know, don't get caught against, they're not playing them this year, but don't get caught against Austin Matthews' line effectively. That's not what's happening. This coaching staff obviously views them in an entirely different fashion. So you got to balance that. But when I look at the way that they're running right now, Jeff Skinner has done a great job lifting up that fourth line with Lazar and Sheehan. And there's a lot of value in having that line be an effective offensive threat, much in the way that the Larson line was last year. I'm sure the numbers don't align perfectly, but I really feel like that line is as close approximation as you're going to get to that log line from last season, as it's constructed. Lazar centering Skinner and Sheehan. Now, Victor Olofsson is useless at 5-on-5 at this point. He is a tremendous shooting talent, and he is an incredible value to any team that would have him on the power play. Do you want him to potentially torpedo that Lazar line just so that you can get Jeff Skinner up with Jack Eichel? I would say no. But what I would say is that you put Toby Reeder with Lazar and Sheehan, you put Olofsson with Eakin, and if Okposo's stuck in the lineup for whatever the hell reason, they keep putting him on the ice, let those guys play. Like, they can be the C line from house hockey and get really sheltered, you know, playing time. Mm-hmm. And so, and that leaves, you know, the Hall, Stahl, Cousins trio, I think, is right now their strongest group. Wouldn't touch that. And you put Skinner back with Eichel and Reinhart, and if you give them a few games to go together, maybe, you know, you spark Eichel and Skinner at least. So I think that's where I sit right now. You know, I think you could probably, if I really sat down and thought about it, I could find a reason to put Mittelstadt in over Kyle Okposo. My reasoning would be I watch the games.
I was going to say, you have eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll use Mike Harrington's favorite stat on that one. And like, you know, you probably want to see CJ Smith at some point, but I don't know who you put him in for. So yeah, like a Reeder, Eakin, Mittelstadt line seems great. Olofsson, Eakin, Ristolainen sounds great. You know, I think that, you know, if you want Eakin to be a little bit more offensive, because that's when he was good for Vegas, he had the 20 goal season, right? You know, mm-hmm. he had some more offensive help. He had some sheltered usage and he was able to capitalize because he is a decent shooter. So yeah, maybe you give him an Olofsson and a Smith or an Olofsson and a Ristolainen, and that line becomes a little more dangerous. And then you're not a two line team, but that means you're scratching Okposo, which is a cardinal sin, it would appear, and you're then trying to find a spot for at least Toby Reeder and possibly Toby Reeder and Olofsson. So if you're thinking about recalling one or two guys from Rochester, it's going to throw the lineup into a lot of flux, and very, very few NHL teams at all do that sort of thing, let alone the Buffalo Sabres, who have been notoriously conservative with calling guys up mm-hmm. who maybe deserve it. So I mean, look at Olofsson. He probably should have been up earlier than he ever was. So
definitely. I actually kind of want to go back to your point about Reinhart, Eichel, Skinner, because I've been thinking about this for the past week, and I do want to see that happen as well. I completely understand the value that Skinner provides to that line with Lazar and Sheehan, but as much as people want to say, you know, I don't care about like how much money he makes, like, at the end of the day, in my eyes at least, like, that does matter. Like, if my $9 million like left winger is not scoring goals, I need to do something that will get him like starting to score goals, you know?
Yeah, this is not a Kyle Poster situation where
right.
he was in a life-threatening situation. He had a career-altering injury, which obviously has affected him progressively each season. Like, he's gotten slower. His processing just isn't there. He's a different player than he ever was before he got hurt. And I would go so far as to say he was pretty effective for them before that concussion. Like, he was a decent offensive threat.
He was an all-star.
Yeah. Well, yeah, seriously, right? Yeah. Yeah.
In 2016, 2017, he was an all-star his first year.
That's right. I forgot about that. Like, this is totally a different situation, in my opinion. Now, Okposo should sit. He should be on the taxi squad. They should be banking that cap room. It's like the most
$2 million extra, right? If he goes on the taxi squad, do they open up? I think
they get $1 million. It's $1 million, 1.075. So 1,775,000.
Gotcha.
Because it's like the max entry level hit. It's a goofy formula. It's like 900,000 plus something, or 650 plus another. I don't know. It's weird. It's like $1 million. So. And anyone over that cap hit, that's your max relief. So like Carter Hutton would be $1 million. Anyway, with regard to Skinner, yeah, he's healthy. He's still producing chances. He's still among the league's best at drawing penalties. Someone just on Twitter last night was like, hey, like, have you ever guys looked into this? And I always knew like he was good at drawing penalties, but he's in the top 50, I think, this year right now. And his penalty differential per 60 is harder to track because you have guys who haven't played as many games. But anyway, he's still drawing penalties, still creating chances. He's not finishing somehow. It's insane to me. And like, I'll go so far as to say, like, I don't love the idea of just falling back on that Skinner, Eichel, Reinhardt trio. I think you need to try to be better than that. You need to, whether it's coming with new ideas, spreading and tailing out, you can describe it any way you want. There's a lot of different things they could be doing, short of just putting Skinner with Eichel and Reinhardt. But there's a reason the guy scored 40 goals 2 years ago. One of them is that his shooting luck was really good. I think he shot like 15-16%. Yeah, I think he's like a 10-12% career shooter. So obviously, like, luck was on his side, as was playing with a player who just last year was receiving her trophy votes. So, you know, there is a difference between Jack Eichel and Curtis Lazar. It's not just that Curtis Lazar is outscoring him this season. Like, there's a talent difference, and at some point you got to put talent with talent and see what comes out the other end. And so for a team that is so desperate to score at 5-on-5, and Jeff Skinner's maybe like best trait is 5-on-5 scoring, it's right there for him to do. And I just don't know if I have a pretty good feeling that Ralph Kruger doesn't want to do it.
Right. Well, and I know obviously hindsight's 20/20 and everything, and you know, we've talked about this at length. We're not even 20 games into the season and we're already talking about this, but I think that just, it shines a light on the fact that Taylor Hall and Eric Staal, two big moves, but I don't think Kevin Adams had as good of an offseason as people thought he did initially, because I will give him credit for that. I think that the Hall thing was for sure like Ralph, and just having Jack plays a lot into that. And the Staal trade, even though Staal hasn't maybe looked as good as we were hoping, I would still say though that's a great move. Like, I'd make that move any day, like for just Johansson being the return on that. But with that being said though, you're now in a place where your only option is to play Skinner, given how Ralph wants to do things, is to play him with two guys who are in reality prior to this season like fringe NHL guys.
Yeah.
And
it hasn't helped that Tage Thompson isn't an
Tage too. Tage, yeah. Absolutely. You know, you're absolutely right. And again, it's not having like an insurance plan for that, to be able to have guys to insulate the bottom six of your lineup. It's like, it's not like just
Skinner. Well, they do have those players. They won't call them up.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, it's not like that's like the thing. It's not like we need to have Jeff Skinner attached to Jack Eichel's hip. We don't need to do that. We have seen, and again, like the analytics back it up, that he is creating chances in line with his, as you had mentioned before, like league leading rates that he's had over the past 5 or so years. You know, like, he's putting that up, but it gets to a point where it's like, we shouldn't have to settle for, and I apologize for your boy, but we shouldn't have to settle for Curtis Lazar and Riley Sheehan.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, they're not
the people to help get Jeff Skinner going. Like, there should be more than that.
Yeah. And like, one other thing on like the rates, the different things that he's done since he's entered the league, since his rookie year in 2010-11, this is just raw. This isn't on a per 60 basis or anything. He is the league leader in penalties drawn since 2010-11. He has 366 penalties drawn, number one in that time, which is crazy to think about. Like, he's just like, he's a play driver. He's pesky. Like, he does a lot of things that most old school hockey guys would like too. So, you know, but yeah, it's the one other thing I would like to see happen. And if you feel that Victor Olofsson needs that babysitter with Eichel, then like, let's see Skinner with Eakin, you know, put Skinner, Eakin, and then give him, you know, give them another offensive winger. That's another thing that you could try that, because again, like, this is the difference between what Kruger does and doesn't do and what, you know, needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Eakin in a more offensive role, as opposed to trying to be Johan Larsson, would be a good solution. So.
What about even Skinner with like Hall, honestly? I think I mentioned that we talked about that a little bit a few weeks
ago. It's interesting. I just wouldn't touch that second line.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. They do make
it's the one. It's like one of the few things working for them at even strength. I would keep rolling the dice there.
Mm-hmm. So with the overall strategy this year, it seems like it's not unlike last year. They have a luck aside, they still kind of have a bad offensive attack. I think they're last I checked, they're fourth last in expected goals for and fourth in expected goals against, in that they have a really good offense and really bad defense is the easiest way to put that. And obviously there's a bunch of different factors that go on top of just your 5-on-5 expected goals. There's your ability to shoot the puck if you have some more talent than other teams, your ability to stop the puck, and then special teams, obviously. Those are the main things. And luck. And luck's not on their side. Special teams are better than they were last year, but they're not that far away from they were in expected goals on both ends last year, and they're also not that far away from where they were goaltending wise. Mm-hmm. So I guess you should ask, if I remember correctly, you have a goaltending background.
I do.
So what do you think about the wisdom of using the strategy when you have two guys like Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark? And are we missing anything with those guys? Is there any talent with either of them that we are missing? Are they getting unlucky, or are they as bad as they seem?
I think Hutton's as bad as he seems at this point. He was never a great goaltender, and you know, I was really nervous about them signing him as a free agent, and that Botterill got him at a pretty competitive rate, made me feel better about the decision. I really thought he was going to be like a $4 million goalie or more, and he was already on the wrong side of 30. That could have been a really bad signing, and it's not as bad as it could have been. But no, he's not good. He's just not a good goalie. He's too active. He moves way too active in the crease, I think. And he's more of a battler. It just doesn't translate. I think Allmark's a quality goaltender. Is he a legitimate top tier number one goalie? No, definitely not. And you know, he probably needs a strong goalie to tandem with. And, you know, I would hearken back to the days of the Miller-Baron tandem. I'm not comparing him directly to either one of those guys, but, you know, that kind of that 1A, 1B feel is where he fits. And they don't have that right now. Tyler, you know, my podcast partner, often references the fact that when he gets hot, he can be tremendous. And he's in a little bit of hot stretch right now. He's playing pretty good hockey for him. But when he gets, whether, I don't know if he loses his focus, he just says his preparation's not good. I don't know. When he gets cold, he's very, very average. And that can be a real detriment to them. I think he's a nice piece. I've always been a fan of his, so maybe I'm a little biased, but they certainly need another goaltender to play with him. But, you know, but to your larger question about their goals for and goals against rate and all that, like, they can't finish. That's been the story of the season. You know, last week when people were like, oh, Eichel's going to get traded, he wants out of here after the Islanders games. Like, if he and Hall and Skinner were converting just like 2% higher in shooting wise, they probably would have, instead of being 5-7-2, they would have been 7-5-2. And it would just been like, you just throw your hands up and like, now they're just crappy again. Big deal. Instead of, you know, the sky is falling. But the one thing I'll give Kruger credit for is like, they're pretty good at playing low event hockey. They don't get completely run out of the building most nights. They allowed 40 shots last night, but you know, for the most part, they're pretty good at that. And there are too many coaches who can effectively do that. And, you know, Barry Trotz is obviously great at that, but obviously something's missing. There's a piece here that's just not connecting when it comes to the offense and finishing. And that was last, it's been the story since this rebuild started. They've always been in the bottom half of either goals against and goals for, you know, if not both of them, at least one of them. So it's been the story of this group, honestly.
Yeah, it is. And it's just interesting to me though, that like, yeah, they're getting unlucky. There's no question. Like the amount of posts that have been hit this year are unbelievable, but the fact that they're 28th in expected goals kind of strikes me as like they're getting unlucky, but like they wouldn't be that good anyway. And obviously they have a good enough power play right now that it'd be like, okay, they wouldn't be 28th in goals scored with average luck. They'd be maybe 20th, but like, that's not good with a great power play. That's kind of like the 16-17 team, but with good defense. And
right. Yeah. And I just think there's probably a lot of factors at play there. I'm not like, I will say I'm not the world's biggest proponent of expected goals. I think it's still a little, there's a lot of, it feels like there's a lot of guesswork going into it. And that's a little surface level criticism. I there's a deeper conversation to be had about whether or not it's a good stat, but so I don't love it. If it's, you know, it's kind of the new hotness right now. So at least from an informative perspective, I can give credence to it. But yeah, I just, it's a perplexing thing with these guys. And I mean, I think back to some of the games I've been watching this year, like those Islanders games, for example, they play on the outside. You know, there is something to be said at times for having guys who are going to get in tight and get into dirty areas. And, you know, they want to shoot from the point a lot. That is pretty apparent, pretty evident. They don't always have traffic. They don't always have guys cleaning up rebounds or getting tips. And, you know, we've seen the games when they've gotten tips, they score at least, if not win the games, you know, when they're creating traffic in front. But the games when no one's getting inside, no one's getting into high danger areas, they're not winning the games and they're not scoring goals, because if a goalie in this league sees the puck, he's going to stop it. When the shots are coming from the tops of the circles and out, aside from Jack Eichel, I think Olofsson and Jack Eichel are really probably two of the only guys on this team who could score from those areas consistently. Because you just have to be such a good shooter. So yeah, whether this is a player issue and they're relying on their talent and they just think they're better than they are, I don't know, but it's been a pretty systemic problem for them since 16-17, like you said.
All right, Chris. Well, before we move on from the doom and gloom that is the Buffalo Sabres, do you have any last thoughts on anything we've been talking about here to kind of wrap things up?
Yeah. So we ended our show last night when we recorded during the Devils game. I was like, every show is just like so down in the dumps. Like we got to get on a high note. So like, I'll try to channel some positive energy on this team. So like Dylan Cousins has been awesome. And as wrong as I was about Brandon Montour being like, I thought he was gonna be great and he kind of stinks. I feel pretty good about leading the Dylan Cousins train, because not too many people wanted him to get drafted. So that's been fun, and it seems like they got some guys in Rochester. Like Jack Quinn seems like he might be a player. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know how you guys felt about Jack Quinn. Like the little I've seen of him, I'm like, yeah, like he's got some talent, right? So like they just gotta score some goals. Like it sounds so basic and like silly, just to be like, well, they just don't score, but that's it. Like Jack Eichel has, like, who tweeted that? I forget who tweeted it today. I don't know if you guys saw the tweet, but it was like, the Sabres literally have three of the top five guys in posts hit this season.
Yep.
Yeah. Like it's an astonishing run of bad luck. And I was arguing with someone like last week, I was like, it's very possible that they don't get out of this rut. Like they just might be on a season long cold streak. It happens, but the numbers would tell you that they should at least get a little better. If not get back to normal levels. So like, I'm just holding out that they at least have an entertaining product down the stretch, and the opportunity of for Rasmus Dahlin to play like serious minutes and be an impactful player for them this season? Because, I mean, I'm going to guess that Risto's out for at least a month, right? So, like, he's going to be their unquestioned number one for a few more weeks here. So, I really hope they let him, they maybe take the reins off a little bit more than they already have, and he starts playing. So, playing the way he should.
Right.
So, I have some hopes for some individuals, and I will say that I am relatively confident that they will end the season well enough that we won't have to endure an entire summer of Jack Eichel trade rumors.
Interesting.
So that'll be, I'll give you a bold claim there that
it won't be that
terrible. So we'll see.
I will say, if I remember correctly, the only season that's really ended on like a decently high note aside from the tank season would be like 15-16, where it was like, oh, they finished better than they started. Yeah. This could be something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were wrong, but.
And was that the season? Was that then the year when they were 1 point out of the playoffs right before the bye week, and then they came out?
No. That was 16-17. That season finished terribly.
Right. Yeah.
But
those two. But that's right, because they were like decent. They were 81 points or 82 points.
81. Yeah, they had.
Yeah.
They played at a 94-point pace in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm.
And that was the summer, like, Biles was like, we're going to be a 94.5-point team next year, and then they weren't.
Yeah, and then they signed Oposo, and they got worse. What are you going to do? Terrible. But anyway, before we close out here today, I do have a quiz for both of you guys to kind of compete with each other. This is in honor of Chris. I got a goalie centric quiz.
Okay, great.
It's I don't think it's too hard of a quiz, so I think most of the answers should be right, but there's not a twist, but kind of a little extra element to the game. So the quiz will be on the leader in all-time wins for every franchise's goalie, leader in all-time goaltending wins. I don't know why I said that in such a clunky way.
Okay, so franchise leader in wins.
Yes. And so I'll go one by one in alphabetical order, but you also, if you want, you can, not if you want, you'll definitely want to do this. Try to get their wins within 25, and you get a second point.
All right.
You get a second point. And if you don't get one or other, the opponent can steal both. So, for example, I'll say, Brendan, who is the Bishop Time in St. Jude High School all-time leader in wins? And then Brendan says, me with 50. I'd say, no, you only had 24. So Chris can steal. I wouldn't say you only had 24, but I would say, Chris, you can steal.
Okay.
And you could try to get within 25 for the all-time win.
So even if I guess correct then, but if I get the second guess wrong, Chris can still get a point if he's within 25?
Yes.
So this is like Family Feud.
Oh.
Yeah, but there's no rule about going. Well, no, that's Price is Right about going over, I believe.
Mm.
But yes, anyway, yeah. So anyway, since Chris is our guest, I'll let him go first. What was that, Brandon?
This makes you like Steve Harvey then, in a way.
Yeah, do I have to say sexually explicit stuff to get extra points?
Yeah. People compare my mustache to Steve Harvey's mustache, but.
Oh, man.
So I'll start with Anaheim. Who do you think Anaheim's all-time leader is?
J.S. Jaguar.
Okay, and what do you think his win total is?
I'll go with 289.
Okay, that's not within 25. Brendan, would you like to guess what his win total is?
300.
No, it's actually 206.
No, I should have went the other way. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he ended up getting benched for Hiller later in his career. Mm. All right, but Brendan, your team is Arizona. Which I should pause real quick.
That's what I was about to say.
This is franchise history. So franchise all the way back.
Oh boy.
Jets then too, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
That's for every team, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one. I don't know if this is right, but is it Mike Smith?
No.
Felt like he was there forever, yeah.
All right, Chris, do you want to steal?
Nikolai Habibulin?
No, both wrong. It's actually Ilya Bryzgalov with 130 wins.
Oh, man.
No way. Briz hit? Wow. No,
I was stunned.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was someone at some point in the past would have had more than that. That's not that many.
Habibulin spanned both franchises too, I thought, for sure. And he got a few playoff berths, so
interesting. Next, Chris, is Boston.
man, Tuca's got to be up there at this point, right? They've been around forever, but I guess I'll go Tuca. Tuca time?
That's correct. Okay. Would you like to guess his wins?
187.
No, not within 25. Brendan, would you like to guess?
Yes, I would. 185. I'm going to go 200.
No, it's 298.
Oh, wow.
You can say it had to be in the 200s, but yeah.
Good Lord. All right.
Yep. All right. So, Brendan, yours is, and this is an easy one, Buffalo.
That would be Mr. Ryan Miller.
That's correct. Would you like to guess his wins?
Yeah. Let's go 275.
All right. You're within. It's 284. Woo-hoo. All right. Chris, Calgary.
Mike Vernon.
No. Brendan, would you like to steal?
Mika Kiprasov?
That's correct. Would you like to guess his win total?
Sure. How about 175?
No. So since that started as Chris's, there's no steal opportunity for the win total. But it is 305.
Oh, okay.
All right. Chris. Wait, no, this would be Brendan's turn now. Brendan. Carolina.
Ugh.
I know, right?
Is it Cam Ward?
Yep.
I hate it. Thanks.
That, yep.
I don't like it. How many wins would he have? I'll say I'm going to go 175 again.
No. Chris, would you like to steal that?
219?
No. Shockingly, he has 318 wins.
Wow. And he has been, he was there forever, but.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely stuck around. Chris, Chicago Blackhawks, another old franchise.
Well, Crawford. I'm going to say Tony O. Esposito?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Would you like to guess his wins?
275.
No, you're correct on him, but Brendan, would you like to guess the wins?
325.
No, 418.
God damn.
Yeah. I believe he was, I think, within the past 20 years, was second all time and was obviously quite a few guys
past. Yeah. Him. Wait, what was that number again?
418.
It might have been. Yeah, that might have been what. Never mind.
I think, like, I'm trying to think because he wasn't, Waz definitely ahead of him.
Yeah.
At some point. But anyway, yeah, we'll get to that later. Now, Brendan, Colorado next.
Oh. I'm worried that I'm going to think this is a layup and it's not, but I'm going to go Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay, cool.
Do you want to do wins?
Yeah. Well, he had a boatload with Montreal, so it wouldn't. Got to keep that in mind. I'll go. He wasn't there super long. How about 250.
Correct. 262.
Let's go. Okay.
All right. Chris.
I would have definitely just said his career wins without thinking and guessed way too high.
Columbus.
Who was there longer?
I think I might.
It's either going to be Pascal Leclerc or Bob. Give me Pascal Leclerc. Let's see if I'll take a shot in the dark on Pazzy there. No.
Incorrect. Yeah. Brendan?
I don't even know if I might be galaxy braining this because it's a guy. Is it Mark Denise?
Both wrong.
Shit. Is it Steve Mason?
No, fellas, it's the two-time Vezina winner. Okay. It's Bobrovsky.
Oh, but he wasn't there that long. I don't know.
It's actually by quite a bit, too. But you got to think about this. He's the only guy that was ever good. Like, the only time they were ever good was with him.
Yeah, that's fair. I was thinking longevity, but that would make sense. Wow.
Yeah, 213 he had. Eh. All right. So, Brendan, Dallas.
Ooh.
Which I don't know if this is an important clarification. This is Dallas and Minnesota North Stars. So, like, even though there's that weird merger, this does not carry any Cleveland Barons or California Golden Seals history, if you were wondering.
Neither of those teams were good enough for that to matter.
No. I know Brennan's a big Seal head.
I'm a huge fan of the Golden Seals, baby. Bring them back. I'm going to go I have two in my head. Is it Marty Turco?
That's correct. Would you like to guess the wins?
.250.
Again, you're right. It's a .262. So the second time you've had a .262.
You know who's second on that list?
No, I didn't look.
I would assume Belfour.
I would also assume Belfour.
He was there a decent amount of time, and they're not, their goaltending history is not
great.
Sparkling. Maybe John Casey might be there over Belfour, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, Detroit.
My gut says Chris Osgood, but I'm feeling, I'm questioning my logic. Let's go with Chris Osgood.
Incorrect. Okay. Brendan, do you want to steal?
I was literally going to say him too. So
it's going to be like Bauer or one of those greats.
This is really tough.
It's got to be pre-expansion.
I can't think of any names. Like nothing's coming to mind right now. Can I just guess the win total? And could that count as a point and not guess the person?
Oh, you gotta have the person first, or someone's gotta have the person first.
All right. Oh boy, I'm honestly gonna pass. I don't know. I really don't know.
All right. Well, it's Terry Sawchuk with 350.
Shit. Okay.
All right. Brendan, it's your turn here. It's Edmonton.
Grand Fuhr.
That's correct. Would you like to guess the win total?
.325.
No, Chris, would you like to steal that?
Yeah, .365.
No, actually, it's .226.
Wow.
Yeah. Lower than I would have thought, too.
Well, he was there for a while. That's
Yeah, strange, because they were winning constantly.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Very weird. All right, Chris, Florida.
Roberto Luongo?
That's correct. Would you like to guess his win total?
.212.
Oh, well, you're within 25. It's .230.
Okay.
Good stuff. All right,
that was good.
I only got a double dip, man. That was rough for a minute there.
All right, Brendan, L.A.
Jonathan Quick?
That's correct. Win total?
Forever now. .275.
No, Chris, would you like to steal?
.234.
He's actually at .330.
Wow.
So, yeah. This guy's racking up the wins. All right, Chris, Minnesota.
You got Manny Fernandez. Dubnyk wasn't there long enough, I don't think. Let's go Manny Fernandez.
Incorrect. Brendan?
Damn, he would have been my first choice, too. It's a little bit of a shot in the dark because I don't know specifically how long he was there, but I feel like it was for a few years, and it's not like they've been – or no, actually, no, I don't know if I want to do him. I was going to say Dwayne Rollison. I'll just go with that because he was there for a little bit. Was it him?
No, it was Nicholas Backstrom.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Yeah, that – damn it.
All right. Yeah. Brendan, now that you have one of the greatest goaltending teams – not to say one of – the greatest goaltending team of all time, the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. This is going to just be like process of elimination for you, Chris, once I get this wrong. Is it Patrick Waugh?
No.
Yep.
I believe it's Carey Price.
That's correct.
No way. Really?
Yeah. It tells you a lot about the shootout, the overtime win.
Wow.
He's been there since 2005. He's been there forever.
Oh, yeah. God. I thought it would have been like an old school guy. I guess that's a great point. Yeah, he really has been there forever. Wow.
Yeah. Congrats. Do you have a guess on the win total?
Isn't it like it's like three? Is he in the threes? I'm pretty like 318.
Oh my God, you got it so close to the 25, but not quite.
Yeah,
it's 353.
Ah,
but you did draw with closer to Brendan there, so that's good.
What are you rooting for him?
Well, I just like a competitive game here, bud. If we're wondering on the score here right now, it's 9-6, Brendan. So Chris, it is your turn, and it's Nashville.
Pekka Rinne?
Yep. All right. And what do you think the total is?
Well, he's been there forever, too. He's been there since, like, 08, right? So, 312.
Close again, but it's 364. Just outside the range. All right. Brendan, New Jersey.
And all the easy ones, man.
I know. Oh, that was a slam dunk. What do you think the win total was?
God, he's got to have a shitload. 490.
No, Chris, would you like to steal this?
I think it starts with a six. Because if I'm not mistaken, Waugh finished with 552. So give me 630.
Oh, man. It's actually 688.
Mm.
688, huh? Wow.
Yeah. All right, Chris, the New York Islanders.
Well, it's not the Rick.
Are you sure?
Billy Smith.
That's correct. Would you like to guess the win total?
241.
Incorrect. Brendan, would you like to try to steal that?
Sure. 241. I'll go 260.
No, it's actually 304.
Oh, damn. I should have went higher then.
All right, Brendan, you have the New York Rangers.
Hey. Go, no, wait. Let me think about this. Yeah, I'm going to go with Hank.
Good call.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why you thought about that.
Dramatic. I was thinking Mike Richter for a second, if that would have, like, but Hank had been there forever. So, yeah.
What do you think the win total is?
I'm going to go why do I feel like I actually recently saw something with his win total? 400.
No, Chris, would you like to steal that?
Yeah. He's like 04, 05 in that neighborhood. Jeez. You said, yeah, four feels like a pretty decent guess there because he won 30 games every year. 435.
You are in the range by one. It's 459.
Damn it.
So you're getting closer there. It's 11-9 here with a few teams left. And it's your call, Chris. Now it's Ottawa.
Okay. Ray Emery.
Incorrect. Mm-hmm. Brendan.
Hmm.
Oh, I know the answer to this. How could I leave him out?
Who is it? I didn't. No, I'm sure.
You might know him.
I feel like I should. For Ottawa. This is definitely wrong, but I'm just going to go for it. Is it Craig Anderson?
No, you're right.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah, would you like to guess the goal total or the win total?
225.
And you're within the range. It's 202. That was huge for you.
Boom.
So, Chris, were you thinking him or were you thinking who I was thinking?
I was thinking Anderson. He was there a suspiciously long time, and none of their goalies have been very good, including Patrick Lalime. So
that's who I was thinking before I looked this up. And I was—it's funny because when you said you know him, Brendan pretends to be friends with Patrick Lalime.
Oh. I don't pretend. No, Taylor's brother and I are very good friends with Patrick Lalime. We have a picture with him while we were sitting next to him while he was on the bench during the game that we went to a few years back against Pittsburgh.
So you guys spent like an hour together.
We were very close, to be honest. He sends me pictures of his kids, you know. I send him updates of what I'm doing when I'm sitting around doing nothing. You know, we keep in touch.
That's nice.
He's an avid listener of the show too.
All right.
Such a good friend.
Yeah. All right, Brendan. Another franchise known for its goaltending prowess. It's the Philadelphia Flyers.
Is this an easy one?
I don't know.
It might. No, I don't. Shit, man. I don't know. I mean, they were rotating goalies like it was going out of style for a bit. Well, they couldn't at least land on one. I know this is wrong. I'm just going to throw his name out there because I can't think of anybody else. And also just to give him a shout out, but Roman Čechmánek.
What a king. Absolutely not. Chris, would you like to steal?
Bernie Parent.
Those are that's a good guess. That's who I would have thought it, but it's actually Hextall.
Hextall. Holy shit. I don't regret Roman Čechmánek for a second. I just want to make it clear.
That's great. Chris, Penguins.
Oh, Marc-Andre Fleury.
That's correct. You want to guess the win total?
Yeah, 303.
Incorrect. Brendan, do you want to venture a guess there?
Darn right. 350.
Exactly within 25. It's 375.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Wow.
All right. And now we're moving on to San Jose, Brendan.
Evgeny Nabokov?
Yes. Do you want to guess his total?
Go like 175.
No, Chris, do you want to steal?
344.
No, it's actually 293. All right, Chris, St. Louis.
Mike Louis.
That is a great call. I feel like that should be 5 points on its own.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the one I think about all of these. I think I would not have gotten. But do you want to guess the win total?
Yeah, 269.
Not within the range. Brendan, would you like to guess?
240?
No, the St. Louis Blues, who have existed for 53 seasons, all-time leading goaltender has 151 wins.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
We were in the JV division for a while there, so.
That's true.
What do you mean, the North Division this year?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Now, Brendan, Tampa Bay.
Damn. Oh man, this is tough. I'm between two. I know it doesn't even matter which one I say because it's gonna be wrong. It's gonna be the other one that I'm thinking, I'm sure. But I kind of want to believe that, given the recent success, maybe it's Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Correct.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, do you want to guess the win total?
Hasn't been around for that long. 150.
You're within the range too. It's 169.
Cool.
All right. So, Chris, I think you're kind of still in this, but it's obviously...
I'm like the Bills right now. I'm in the hunt. But not
you're
really.
In the hunt. You're within six. So this is do or die time.
Oh, yeah.
And your team is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Cujo.
Incorrect. Brendan, do you want to guess?
Great guess. Oh, man. Toronto. I don't actually know. Who is it?
Turk Broda with 304 wins.
Would have gotten it wrong anyways. Cool.
All right. Brendan, you have Vancouver.
Also Roberto Luongo?
That's correct. You want to guess his win total there?
215.
Not in the range. Chris, do you want to guess that?
275.
Yep, you're in the range. It was 252.
Good stuff.
All-time leader for two franchises. All right, now, Chris, Vegas.
Also Marc-Andre Fleury.
That's right. That's right. That's two, the only two goalies who lead two franchises. Do you want to guess his win total?
Yeah, it's like, when do they come in this?
They were 2017 they came into
the league. He's got to have like, I'll give him 94.
99, so you're in the range.
Wow, good
guy. All right, Brendan, Washington.
Ole the goalie.
That's correct. Win total?
300.
301, very close.
Wow,
cool.
All right, so that's it. So there's, I had a tiebreaker here that was Winnipeg. Do you guys want to guess Winnipeg?
Kari Lehtinen?
No, Brendan?
Love that guess. Love that. Hellebuck?
That's correct. Yeah, Hellebuck. Brendan, you won. I mean, you already won, but yeah. Hellebuck was the answer. He had 156 wins. So yeah, that's it. That's the all-time leading goalie wins.
Nice.
Everyone's favorite stat to measure a goalie by.
Yeah, very reliable stat.
Only one.
As you can tell. But yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, first and foremost, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Great. Yeah, no doubt.
Before we actually sign off, you want to give one last quick plug for where people can find you on Twitter, online?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, website's twointhebox.com. Twitter is at @2ITB_Buffalo. The podcast, the Instagram podcast, we usually release once a week. Use our Manscaped code if you're going to buy. But yeah, no, that's where you find me. So
very nice. Very nice. Well, once again, thanks for coming on. We're looking forward to having you on again. I'm sure we'll have you again this season. Plenty to talk about, good or bad, either way.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Before we go. Yeah. Do we want to do the, our random Sabres player of the week before we go?
Yeah. I was actually going to do our quick little outro with some promos really quick. Well, first of all, everybody, this episode and all of the Hockey Podcast Network content that you have been listening to over the past couple of or month or so, whatever it's been, is presented by DraftKings. We're excited to be working with them now. We're actually in the midst of another battle trying to just give away free stuff. So right now, all you have to do is go on our Twitter @StraightSabres, check us out, Straight Up Sabres, and retweet our pinned tweet. Make sure you're following us and make sure you're following the Hockey Podcast Network, and that enters you in for a chance to win a free jersey. We've been telling everybody Sabres jersey, but in reality, if you're a Sabres fan, but you're like, you know what, I want to get an Anaheim jersey, you could do that too. Whatever you want to do. Getting a Sabres one, I guess, would be nice. But if you don't want to waste your money, that's okay too. But actually, you're getting it for free. So whatever you want to do. Anyways, though, DraftKings, make sure you go check it out on our Twitter account. Again, if we get the most retweets out of all of our partner or fellow shows on the Hockey Podcast Network, Then we get to choose a winner, which we will do at random. So make sure you're checking that out. Make sure you're checking out the Hockey Podcast Network and our fellow shows as well. As I mentioned before, 31 teams, 31 shows, the one-stop shop for all things NHL. Also make sure you're checking out our co-presenter, Buffalo Fanatics. As we've been saying, things are starting to heat up more and more with the Bills offseason. Just today, I don't know if you guys saw this, there was an NFL.com article that said it was like five trade predictions that we'd like to see, and one of them was McCafferty from to Buffalo from the Panthers. Sure, that sounds great. But make sure you're checking out Buffalo Fanatics. They're talking about that and so much more, what we're going to do in the draft, what we're going to do in free agency. So make sure you're checking them out, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and check them out online on their website. Also, make sure you're checking out Two in the Box and supporting Chris and throwing him a follow. And also one last shout out too that I want to just put out there. We were talking about Kevin and TJ before. They actually just started their own podcast called Between Two Rebuilds. It's going to be just hard-hitting Sabres content with none of the Sabres talk. So make sure you're checking that out. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I'm assuming it's not a big deal, but yours truly, I will be on actually coming up this week or tomorrow night, or well, for you guys tomorrow night, but Friday night, I'm going to be recording an episode with them talking about one of my favorite bands. And so I'll leave it at that. So make sure you're checking them out though. They just launched on Twitter and Instagram. And of course they're broadcasting that or streaming that wherever you listen to podcasts as well. They just put out the first episode. So make sure you're checking that out. In any event though, that gets through my rambling ranting of all the things you need to check out. So now it is time for our random Sabres player of the episode. Chris, I think when you were on last, we were doing it where we could all say it at the same time. We've since changed it up so that everybody can properly honor whatever random Sabres player that you are thinking of right now. If you'd like to go first, you're more than welcome to. If not, I will pass it off to Taylor.
It's your show. You guys go ahead.
All right, Taylor, who do you got for today?
All right, in the spirit of the goalie theme, I'll go with an underrated former Sabre, Ty Conklin.
Ooh, okay. I like that. Ty Conklin, very nice. Well, then if we're going to do that, then I'm also going to go with a former Sabres goalie and say Steve Shields for my random Sabres player of the episode. Nice. Chris, who you got?
I'll do a goalie and Peter Skudra.
Ooh, there we go. That's a hot one to end
very
with.
Very good stuff. Sabres. Look him up. It's maybe one of the best Sabres trivia questions you can find. So,
all right, everybody, you have your homework now before or after giving this a listen. Well, everybody, thank you all so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it as always. Again, a huge thank you to Chris Ostrander for coming on and joining us. Make sure you're checking out the show and checking out all the other shows that we had talked about under the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics umbrella. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been Straight Up Sabres.